Hare Krishna. First, I want to say that I'm very happy to be here in Alachua. It's quite exciting for me to see such an august assembly of devotees. I must say it's also a bit disconcerting to suddenly be faced with all of you. I'm not familiar, I don't know many of you, but I do know some of you, so yeah. I hope over the next weeks and months I'll get to know you more. Jayu Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalava Giri Vadadhari. Gopi Janavalava Giri Vadadhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janavalava Giri Vadadhari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Gaur, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai, Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande. All glorious to the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupagara Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Parakamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vithangtham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vithamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottama Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagavati Naishtiki. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. This is verse 44, which is the last verse of the chapter. I'm thinking to follow in the footsteps of His Holiness Hanumat Preshika Swami, who I understand was just here. I met him recently in Radhadesh, and I was struck by the logic of his method, namely of going first through the word for word and then chanting the verse. It made a lot of sense to me, so I thought we can do that, because in that way, as we chant the verse, we're more conscious of what it means instead of simply parroting. Okay, let's try that. Shishuka Uvacha. Shishukadev Goswami said. Pratijagraha accepted tat that badham so be it yes tat badham, that's going to be the statement by Narada saying so let it be. Narada Narada Muni Sadhu Sammata, who is an approved sadhu, Etavan, this much, Sadhu Vadaha, appropriate for a saintly person. He, indeed, Titikcheta, he may tolerate. Ishvara. What means Ishvara? Controller, supreme controller, Lord. Well, you'll never guess how Srila Prabhupada translates. He says, although able to curse Prajapati. although able to curse Prajapati Daksha. Svayam himself. Translation and purport? No. First, let's chant it. Shishuka Uvacha Pratijagraha Tadbadham Pratijagraha Tadbadham Narada sadhu sammata. Narada sadhu sammata. Etavan sadhu vadohi. Etavan sadhu vadohi. Titikshetesvarasvayam. Titikshetesvarasvayam. Shri Shuka Uvaja Pratijagraha Tadbadham Narada Sadhu Sammata Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Titikshetesvara Svayam. Others can chant. Ladies. Sadhavadahi. Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, When cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tat Badham, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return. But because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25-21, Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta. What's the last line? Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees, all together now. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, it may be asked why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately. But he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and free from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagai and Madhai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati daksha. Shishuka uvacha pratijagraha tadbadham narada sadhu sammata etavan sadhuvado hi titikshetishvara svayam. Shishukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tat Badham. Yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. This verse and this behavior of Narada might remind us of the behavior of Maharaj Parikshit, who is hearing Shukadeva Goswami recite the Bhagavatam to him as a result of a curse which he accepted. It's explained that similarly Maharaj Parikshit might have countered the curse that came to him, but he did not. He accepted it. He understood this curse appears as a curse, but actually it is a blessing. A blessing in disguise, we say. Indeed, when a curse comes to a Vaishnava knows how to turn it into a blessing. This was the case with Maharaj Parikshit, and this is the case with Narada Muni. We might also recall, on the topic of cursing, that Narada Muni himself has also, or will, in the sequence of Bhagavatam, it will be in the 10th canto, will be engaging, or we might say indulging, in some cursing. Again, this will be a curse which is actually a blessing. He curses the sons of Kuvara, who are misbehaving by disrespecting himself, Nalakuvara and Manigriva. He curses them to become transformed. A rather strange transformation, but as is explained, an appropriate transformation considering their behavior. Transforms them into trees, to stand naked, to be tolerant as trees, to learn the lesson, so to say, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives in the verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport. Taror api or taror iva sahishnuna, to become tolerant like trees. Trees are forced to be tolerant. They have no choice. But we know that this particular cursing is a blessing in disguise, if we like, because it gives opportunity for Krishna to perform his conclusion to a pastime, which is a series of pastimes, really, that we call Damodar Leela, in which Krishna seeks release, so to say. He has been bound up, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, allows himself to be bound so that he can unbind his devotees, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who have been put in this situation by the arrangement of Narada. Here we have Narada in the reverse situation. Narada is the recipient of a curse. Daksha, if we give some benefit of the doubt to Daksha, we might very well appreciate his situation. Imagine, if you will, that you are Daksha and you have had several sons and you are very hopeful for them to become successful in the world. You yourself, as a Prajapati, are performing your duty, which is to populate the world. You expect that your sons will follow in your footsteps to do the same as their duty. But what happens? Some fellow comes along, some mischief monger, and he brainwashes them to give up their duty and to take a life of renunciation. Well, all right. After all, renunciation is part of our tradition, part of our culture. Maybe they were supposed to do that. Maybe that is their destiny. All right. We will have more sons. But then again, what does he do? The same mischief monger comes again and again whispers in their ears, why do you want to undergo all of this trouble of householder life? It is so troublesome. Rather, you should take this opportunity that human life gives you and renounce. Take up the ascetic life. Make your life perfect in this way. Go back home, back to Godhead, in this one lifetime. They too become convinced of Narada's words and give up their duty, which has been prescribed for them. Imagine yourself in that situation of being a father with the best of intentions to perform your duty and have your children perform their duty and have this this roving, dare we say, something of a madman, transcendental madman, Narada Muni, come along and disrupt all of your plans, all of your intentions. I think nowadays, perhaps more than in earlier times in our society, years ago, we would have said, no, Narada is right, Daksha is wrong in all respects. Nowadays, when we have more householders, some of us fathers, some of us now even grandfathers, mothers, grandmothers, we might have more of a heart for Daksha. And so when Daksha, in a moment of, we might say, a moment of losing control of his power of speech, pronounces this curse upon Narada, we might understand what his feeling is. We might also recall, of course, this controversy, the issue is whether one should perform one's duty or one should renounce and become an ascetic. This goes back in time. This is really a perpetual issue in this tradition, in Indian cultural history in general. And it persists. We have seen in our own times, within our own society, in 1976, this controversy came to a head when the Radha Damodara Party would travel from temple to temple around the United States. Some of you may have been members of the Radha Damodara. Do we have any Radha Damodara Party members here today? Yes. So you must recall that situation, going from temple to temple and encouraging the local brahmacharis to leave the temple and join the Radha Damodara Party, to go out and preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of this was not appreciated by the temple residents, especially the managers, the mainly householders, who were naturally concerned to have their temples continue being maintained in a smooth and orderly way so that the temple services would be performed properly. So all of this came to a head in, I believe it was 1976. It was all brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention. All of this is described very nicely in Satsarup Das Goswami's biography of Srila Prabhupada. You're all familiar with this. The point is that this controversy is a persistent one. It goes all the way up to the present time, and it went very much into, or started very much with early Vedic times. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, the emphasis is on the tolerance that one should exhibit whenever strong words are delivered. We all have experience that someone says something to us to which our response is one of defense. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four propensities that we are all inclined to engage in, having material bodies as we do, in regard to these four things not being exceptions to the rule that animals, living beings, in their effort to survive in this world, engage in these activities. Srila Prabhupada tells us that we should endeavor to minimize all of these activities, including defending, or he would sometimes call it fearing. So the defending propensity comes not only in a physical way, but also through verbal action. And we know from Srila Rupa Goswami that to control the various forces of the body is to become qualified as a sadhu. Vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jihva vegam, udaropasta vegam, etan vegan, yo vishaheta dira, sarvanapimam prithiving shashishyad. So these vegas, these forces, we all know are extremely powerful. And so the question comes to us who are Vaishnavas or aspiring to be Vaishnavas, how to control these forces. It's significant that the first in Rupa Goswami's list is Vachavega. Narada Muni does not remain silent. He responds to Prajapati Daksha's curse. He says some words. What does he say? Tat badham. Okay, let it be so. It is good. Pratijagraha, coming from the verbal root gra, to grasp. Narada Muni embraced, so to say, the words of Daksha. He did not resist the words, he embraced them. These words have come to me and they will affect my life. So be it. So we may ask, how is it that we, who are not Narada, not having the qualification of Narada, being the son of Lord Brahma, how can we control the force of the tongue, the force of speech, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, the tongue is identified as one force, the words as another, but of course these are intertwined. We may ask ourselves, how can we control? This is the challenge. And so Srila Prabhupada gives us essential instructions in the purport to imbibe the sense or the spirit behind the controlling of the senses, and especially the sense of pronouncing of words. First of all, the attitude of the sadhu, because Narada is identified, sadhu sammata, as an approved, a bona fide, card-carrying sadhu. And so we get the definition. What is a sadhu? Titikshava karanika surida sarvadehinam. Ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhabhushana. Titikshava, first of all, tolerance. He or she, sadhu or sadvi, is tolerant. And this is the very first practical instruction that Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukaduka da agama apayano anityas tangs titikshasva bharata. Tolerate these dualities. It's a command. Krishna gives an instruction. It's not a suggestion, really. The imperative form is used. Titikshasva, tolerate these dualities. So one of the dualities that comes is fame and infamy. Sometimes we all enjoy some fame, some reputation. We are known in our community or communities for our ways, our qualities, our behavior, and so on. And we are concerned to maintain our reputation. We become very disturbed if our reputation is tainted. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you will not have a good reputation. That has to also be tolerated. So, titikshava karunika, and accompanying the tolerance, because the tolerance will not persist by itself, there has to be a sense of compassion. And this is the idea that we get specifically in this verse in the end of the purport brought out by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Narada Muni is tolerant. Why? Because he's compassionate. He is calculating, so to say, that after some time Daksha is going to get this off of his chest. Sooner or later he's going to wind down. And then he's going to realize, after he's run out of steam, so to say, that, well, maybe he overdid it. There is an incident in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. If I remember correctly, it was in Hyderabad when a group of people came, a group of gentlemen came to see Srila Prabhupada with something on their chest. They were from Gita Press, if I remember correctly. And they were very angry with Srila Prabhupada for publishing his Bhagavad Gita as it is, and for promoting the idea that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the publisher that publishes the largest quantity of Bhagavad Gita's, Mahabharata's, and Ramayana's, Ramcharitamana's, and Bhagavatam in the world. They produce hundreds of thousands, even millions of copies of these books in their own versions, mainly in Indian languages. So they all came to Srila Prabhupada, surrounded him, and as we say in English, they gave Prabhupada the sauce. You are ruining Hinduism. And it went on and on for several minutes, throughout which Srila Prabhupada remained completely silent. After about 20 minutes, they wound themselves down. They didn't have anything more to say. And Srila Prabhupada was not responding. He simply remained silent, which was unnerving, because if he had said something in his defense, then they could have again attacked. But he didn't say a word. He remained silent. And he kept staying silent, 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 silent. He simply sat there. After 20 minutes or so, everyone was silent. And then these gentlemen had nothing else to do but to turn around and walk out. That was it. So that's a nice example for us, which brings us to an essential point about answering the question, how to tolerate and how to control our words, is to remember the behavior of those who are our seniors, our example. This is what the reading of Bhagavatam is all about. We are reading about Narada Muni. We are remembering Narada Muni's behavior. And that remembrance is meant to help us to take as example that behavior for ourselves. Okay, then again, the attitude or the state of mind, the character which enables one to practice tolerance is being emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. Trinadapi sunichena tororiva sahishina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I'll just say a word or two about this and then end, because I see the sign here says, please end the class before 8:45 a.m. I'll do my best and in a minute. Trinadapi sunichena. Prabhupada's translation, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all sense of false prestige and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, notice he says state of mind more than once here. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. The word kirtaniya means able to be chanted, chantable. Hari, Lord Hari, or the name of Hari, is sada, constantly, or always, chantable. How is it chantable? By means of, and then everything else in the verse is in the grammatic instrumental case, suni chena, sahishnuna, amanina, manadena. These are all in the instrumental case, which can be translated by means of. So by means of this thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, thinking oneself like a tree, thinking not so much of oneself, amanina, and then manada, manadena, thinking very much of others. In this way, the name of Hari becomes chantable. It becomes possible to chant the holy name constantly by having this attitude. So, Narada Muni is giving this example, and he is interpreting the words of Daksha as a blessing. That which Daksha wants to give as a curse, he is taking as a blessing. And that's being explained very much in the previous purport, which I don't have time to elaborate on. I was requested to elaborate because the speaker yesterday did not focus so much on that purport, I'm told. It's just, I'll point out, I find it a very nice purport where Prabhupada becomes autobiographical. He tells about himself and his, so to say, curse by the parents of his disciples, such that he cannot stay in one place very long. All right, I will end there and invite any comments or questions or thoughts. Shesha Prabhu.
Krishna Shesha Prabhu, at the beginning of a class you were saying that that you don't know many of us here and you'd like to get to know us. And since you have just come, although there was a brief introduction of you at the Sunday program a couple of weeks ago, but this is the first time you've come for our morning program here, I just want to take the opportunity to introduce you to the devotees a little bit, just so that that's done properly, because I think it's important. Although your wonderful class, I think, did more to
now
introduce you.
Now you're going to embarrass
me. Your class did more to introduce you and get us to know you than my words, and I thank you for the wonderful lecture you gave. But just for everyone's information, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, although American, spent most of his preaching time in Europe, to our loss here in America. But he is the ISKCON minister of deity worship and an authority in deity worship, consultant
was.
For devotees. Was. Still is. And maybe not officially, but... but consulted by devotees around the world in questions of worshiping deities in a temple and puja. He's also completed his PhD recently at Oxford University, and I believe it's comparative religions was the thesis.
We could call it that. In Oxford, they don't actually designate anything. They just say the degree is awarded on the basis of the thesis itself. They give the title of the thesis. Which, yes, the thesis I can explain was a comparative study of two temples. One, the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan, which I spent 4 months studying. I lived next to the temple, trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's suggestion, which he had made many years before, that we, our society, could learn from. He mentioned two temples, the Radharaman temple and the Keshava Gaudiya Math in Mathura for deity worship procedures. So that was one temple, and the other temple was Bhaktivedanta Manor outside London. So we attempted a kind of comparison of the two.
And so he's here teaching at the University of Florida. For the next semester, he'll be teaching comparative world religions there. I think it's world religions.
Religions of India.
Religions of India. At the University of Florida. And so he'll be in the area here at least until the spring semester is over. He's also an initiating guru in ISKCON, and he has some disciples here in our community also. So brief introduction, but welcome, very heartily welcome from our community here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Sesha. Yes, so many hands are going up, Mataji.
When you were talking about Narada Muni being tolerant, just trying to get a little clearer on what tolerance means, because it's a term that's bandied about a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And mostly it seems to be used nowadays by people who exhibit very bad behavior, telling people who don't like their bad behavior, oh, you should be tolerant, you're intolerant.
Yeah.
So my question is, it seems that Narada Muni tolerated insults and dishonor and curses to himself, but then when it came to Nalakuvara and Manigriva, he didn't tolerate that.
Mm.
And
yes.
I just was wondering, in one sense, was he tolerant of Daksha's bad behavior, or was there some external reason why he should have been respectful more to Daksha, and that he wouldn't have corrected him or something like that? Does the cursing of Lord Shiva or the insults to Lord Shiva come after this episode or before?
Before, I'm told.
So he cursed Lord Shiva before this happened. So he didn't learn his lesson that time. So I was just wondering if maybe Narada Muni should have given him back as good as he got, you know, to teach him a lesson, or if there was some reason why he was tolerating not only the insults but Daksha's bad behavior. Or is that too speculative?
Well, you've opened up what becomes a huge topic. I want to share the comment that Prabhupada made, which I've always remembered through these years, in 1974 when he visited Germany, and he gave a lecture on Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 14. Matra Sparsha Sukhanteya. And many of you will have had a similar experience, that when Srila Prabhupada made some one particular comment, it went right to the heart and it stayed there, and we remember it ever since. I remember Srila Prabhupada's saying that, and I won't... Although I'm remembering his message, I won't remember his exact words. But he was speaking on tolerance and saying that there is no limit to how much we should tolerate. That is to say, the condition of being in a material body is one that demands tolerance, because the body, by its very structure, suffers. And so we are, throughout our lives, practicing various sorts of tolerance. And then he said, and he gave an interesting definition of death. He said, death is when the soul can no longer tolerate the body. That's what death is, when it really becomes no longer tolerable. So, as a rule of thumb, one might venture to say that for oneself, one is trying to, expand the envelope of tolerance. That for one's own benefit, as difficulties come, one tries in various ways to tolerate. But I think the key is here in the verse that Prabhupada's quoting in the purport, Titikshava Karunika. I think it's significant that the list is in this way, that there is Titikshava immediately followed by Karunika. That if there is genuine compassion, then the degree and the style of tolerance becomes clear. We know how to tolerate. Sometimes tolerance comes in the form of, yes, I'm not going to be silent, I'm going to say something to help this other person because I am convinced that I am in a position to help that person. this person is behaving in a way which is disruptive, not only to me, but to others. I don't mind for myself what this person is saying or doing. I can tolerate. But if this person is going to go on in a similar way dealing with others, no, that has to be corrected. I will tolerate for myself, but to protect, in this case, perhaps a larger community, or to protect other persons in the family of devotees or in the wider world, I need to do something. I need to say something. That then becomes a recognition of duty. And then it becomes a different kind of tolerance, because you may have to put up, because you are saying something rather than being silent, with further challenges from the person, or it may be coming in some other way that difficulty comes to you because you feel something has to be done, some correction has to be made. Big topic. I'll just leave it at that, I think. Yes. Oh. Okay, one from this side. Yes. I don't know names, so. Yeah. Oh. Yes. Ma. I can't see through my glasses.
Hare Krishna.
Is this Mahatma?
The original Mahatma.
The original great soul. Hare Bol. Good to see you.
The Kali Yuga brand, Mahatma. You're speaking about the relation of tolerance and mercy, which I can understand in relation to individuals, being compassionate to them, but we also have to tolerate other things, such as the weather, or you're saying physical pain. So is there still a relation, or is it only in relation to people? Or is it in relation to insects also, to the adibhotic?
Relation to the fly that's flying around me this morning.
Forgive the mosquitoes for biting me. And
right. Yes, good question. I think the principle remains that tolerance is associated with compassion, that I want to remain in a condition whereby I can execute my duty of practicing and expanding Krishna consciousness as much as possible, as far as possible. If I'm going to sit and allow myself to get devastated by the what we used to call the Bengali Air Force in Mayapur, the mosquitoes of Mayapur, or I presume you have here also in warmer weather your share of mosquitoes, then I won't be able to function. So let me, let me tolerate by remaining in the place where I'm doing my service and making adjustments, reasonable adjustments, so that I can carry on with my service in this situation. Yes, Mother Lakshmimoni. I'm getting a barrage of questions. I guess this happens on the first day you give class, right? You get a barrage of questions.
When Tulsi Priya was speaking, and in your answer, the thought that came to my mind was King Rahugana, because he had been so tolerant of so many things, insects, insults, personal this and that. But then when he met...
King Rahugana?
I mean, not King Rahugana, but Judd Bart. When he met King Rahugana, he felt impelled to do something then and there. And so he broke his silence and his external extreme level of tolerance to give King Rahugana the sauce.
Yeah. Yes, very good example. That's exactly. He tolerated, and then he tolerated more, and then he tolerated more. But at one point, he saw, now is the time. Which I think is a good general principle. When we decide we do have to say something, then it can be a critical timing when to say something. If we say something at the wrong time, and that will often be when others are around, which heightens our sense of defensiveness. If somebody remarks on our faults in the presence of others, we have a much more likely chance of rejecting what that person says than if the person tells us in private. I think that's a good general rule of thumb. Yes, sir. Perhaps we should end with this question. I don't know how tightly you keep. We have one more. Oh, vacation time, so we're not in such a rush. Okay.
Prabhu, I was just thinking from a different angle of vision. Mm-hmm. With these two personalities, Daksha on one hand, he has like a very big and responsible position. And these two demigods, Nalakuvir and Managriv, they were demigods, but their position was not as responsible, so to speak. So let's say from a managerial point of view, that has something to do with the way Narad Muni reacted in terms of tolerating one and cursing the other. Can you point upon that a little bit?
Quite possibly that could be understood, as you say, in managerial terms. What you're saying is Daksha had a more important position, therefore to resist his curse might have been less appropriate than if he had been himself not in that, than if Daksha had been yet another ordinary, not another ordinary, but some ordinary person. We could see it that way, yes. Yeah, so Narada Muni is also a realist. He is seeing things in terms of what is best for others. And at the same time, he is, we have to remember, he is taking it as a blessing. He's saying, oh, great! So I don't have to get stuck entangled in some one location. I can keep on the move, and that will be very beneficial for me, because then I will be able, beneficial for me, beneficial for others throughout the universe, because I will be able to expand Krishna consciousness. So, okay, one more from Mataji in the back.
In the purport, the point was made that Narada Muni, after the curse, should have left, but he remained to allow Daksha to completely vent and unwind, like you said. So I was thinking in the example with the Gita Press and Prabhupada, that compassion minimizes the offense that the person is making. That Prabhupada stayed silent in order to lessen the degree of the offense that they were making against him.
Also a nice point, yes. We can see it that way.
That's my question. That I was concerned about. If Narada didn't accept it as an offense, then Daksha also does not receive such heavy result. Is that correct?
Well, certainly what's happening is that Narada is acting as a kind of absorbent. And we might recall the notion that at holy places, tirthas, where ordinary people go to, so to say, unload their accumulated sins, the sadhus then come and, it's sometimes said, absorb or take on all of that garbage, if you like, and purify the place of pilgrimage, purify all of those who have been to the place of pilgrimage. So in a kind of parallel sense, I think we could say here's a case where the sadhu himself is the recipient of the words of abuse, and he is, because of his sadhu power, we can say, he is absorbing and therefore not affected, and therefore, yes, in that sense, exhibiting the compassion which is a minimization of the offense. Yeah. Nice point. Right then, I think we'll stop there. Thank you all very much indeed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.